Welcome to Inside Startup Investing, the only podcast where you can invest in every guest. On this episode, I will be speaking with the co-founder and CEO of Healthcare Originals, Sharon. Healthcare Originals is building a virtual respiratory platform that provides continuous monitoring and preventative care support for asthma and COPD patients. A few things to listen for in this episode as an investor are first, the power of this monitoring device for asthma and COPD patients is that historically with these chronic health issues, patients have to deal with sudden flare-ups that lead to major distress, potentially life-threatening events, and expensive hospital visits. With this technology, these major flare-ups can be predicted up to 3 months earlier and provide guidance on how to prevent these episodes from ever even happening. This is a tremendous value for insurers and patients alike in being able to prevent these episodes. Second, the team has collected over 3 million data points from its wearables, and over 1,000 people have used the device to date with terrific results backed by an independent third party. And lastly, this highly experienced team already has secured contracts representing $5.5 million in annual recurring revenue, with a wait list of 12,000 potential members. Put simply, this team is making progress beyond just the science and is ready to commercialize potentially life-saving technology, the likes of which doesn't exist for these patients today. So with that, let's get on to the show and welcome Sharon. So for those who don't know you, give us a little bit of background about yourself and how you came to found this company.
Well, that's a great question, and I'll try not to be too long, but I founded this company because I have asthma. I almost died 5 times from it and some really scary experiences. My background is I'm a chemical engineer by training. Before starting this company, I first worked in manufacturing. So funny story, I was the first female on a plant of 250 men right out of university. So that taught me a lot about resilience, and I loved the people I worked with. They were very respectful, so no bad stories there, but taught me a lot about just persisting. And from there, I moved on to managing a factory. I managed innovation, deployment, and built 2 factories, and then moved on to managing a portfolio of $150 million in innovation deployment across 14 different manufacturing entities, manufacturing everything from bleach to glass bottles to beer to construction materials. So it was a wide array of materials. And then after that, decided that I wanted to figure out what to do with my career. I had my dad died, and I was like, I need to figure out what should I do with the rest of my life. So came to the University of Rochester in upstate New York and was doing my master's there, and fell in love with 2 technologies, actually. One in the sustainability space and this one in the healthcare space. And of course, the technology that we have has been proven to predict asthma attacks up to 3 months in advance. So that spoke to me really deeply. The sustainability one spoke to me as well. So along the way, while doing this startup, I also invented and have patents around the only technology working at scale right now for deconstructing biomass. So fundamentally, in that technology, you think about everything that is around us today, like trees, plants, whatever. They are the building blocks for fossil fuels that we use today, just many, many hundreds of years later. So what we developed, what I have in patents, is a system for actually turning trees and other products like that into the building blocks for fossil-based materials. But when I think about all of the experience that I've had in terms of innovation deployment and understanding what works, what doesn't work, that's what I bring to Healthcare Originals, for something that I'm deeply personally passionate about, but also that expertise. And I decided this is what I wanted to do with the rest of my working career. Take everything that I've learned so far and really put it into this thing, because this is not just about people like me who have asthma or breathing difficulties, but really, I say it sometimes when I'm talking, these diseases steal joy from people. I have had so many experiences where I don't know how my parents lived with the constant fear of me dying, because I almost died 5 times the fourth time being when I was 19. So the fifth time happened in my 20s. Like, this steals families of joy and peace of mind. So beyond everything that we will do, which is also bringing a good return to shareholders, we aim to give families back joy and peace of mind, because these diseases are silent thieves. They rob us of everything, including a good quality of life, and that needs to change.
So at the most basic level, what is Healthcare Originals and how is it helping to provide that peace of mind?
So Healthcare Originals at the most basic level is helping people with chronic respiratory diseases live well with their condition. And we do that with a mix of technology, so proprietary technology that listens to the organs, in this case the lungs, interprets that data with AI to see what's happening, and then allows people to understand what's happening in three clinical studies proven to detect attacks up to 3 months in advance. What we do then is, data is good, but then if you tell me I'm going to have an attack, how does that help me? What do I do next? So then what we've added to that is we've added expert respiratory therapists and certified educators who then give people at the point of experience a drip feed of education that allows them to know what to do about that alert. And so what we provide is really a holistic system that allows people to become experts at managing their care. And I like to tell people that's true healthcare, not sick care. We want people to just learn how to live well and move on. It's okay. We have 690 million people with chronic respiratory diseases in the world. We will not run out of people to help.
So it sounds like it's a wearable device that involves some sort of app that allows people to kind of see and get this information. And then is it quite literally, like in almost every instance, telling someone, hey, you're 3 months out from this instance occurring, go to the doctor? What does that really look like for a patient?
That's a great question, because one of the things we had to think about is you don't want a bunch of worried well people walking around, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you could be facetious and say everybody's 3 months away from an attack, right? No, what this does is it puts context to the data. And what we do is we put that in context with movement. We also listen for respiration rate. We listen for heart rate and put that together with temperature. So we have six parameters that we look for. We build a baseline for the individual. And when they're deviating away from that baseline, very personalized to the individual, we can tell that. So it's very, very much not everybody walking on worried well. For example, I will cough 3 times a day. That is my baseline. But if, for instance, I'm sitting still and my heart rate is more or less the same, but I'm starting to breathe shallower or more rapidly, and I start coughing more than 3 times a day, then you know that something has fundamentally changed, so we're able to go investigate what has happened. And we eliminate things like a sudden bout of coughing or choking because of like swallowing the wrong way or what those kinds of things. So that's how we eliminate that kind of worried well syndrome.
My understanding to date has been if you have asthma, you know, the main thing you can do is have an inhaler in the event that you have an episode. Is that still kind of the standard of care? And are there things you can do to quite literally prevent the attack from ever even happening?
Yeah, great question. There actually are several things that go into it beyond medication. But on the medication front, most people, depending on where they are with their control, actually need two types of inhalers. One is a preventive inhaler, which is taken every day as a prophylactic, and one is a rescue, which is taken when you're having an attack. A lot of people need help understanding the differences between those. And for example, if you're heading towards an attack, some of those meds you can switch a rescue to a prophylactic, or you can increase your prophylactic, but those things should be done under guidance and with understanding of what's going on. So when we talk about self-management education, that's a piece of it. But beyond just meds, there are lots of myths that people with asthma actually live with, or COPD. We can't exercise. That's absolutely not true, but you have to be more careful than most. There may be triggers in the home. Gas stoves are a trigger. Pets are a trigger. Do you want people to go out and get rid of their pets? No, but we can probably put some HEPA air filters in the home. We can help them identify the things that systematically trigger them and then give them ways to work with it. So a part of our platform as well is that we provide accommodations for environmental triggers in terms of equity and access. For instance, we provide Wi-Fi hotspots for people who cannot, who don't have access, so we can't get data flow from our device. We provide pest control. A lot of people don't understand that even the sight of one cockroach means that you're triggering everybody with asthma, because cockroaches are a trigger. So we provide pest control, and we provide HEPA air filters, or volatile air remover filters, which are not the filters over the window. These are things that actually help people breathe cleaner air. So it's a really a holistic platform, and when people understand the medication aspect as well as the daily life aspect, that's where everybody wins.
How has this platform been tested to date? And do you have any data to suggest that it's leading to less, bad outcomes and major events?
Yes, we definitely have data to that. So we have the fundamental research around our proprietary device that shows that we predict asthma attacks and healthcare utilization up to 3 months in advance. Beyond that, we have actual white papers published and independent validation that within a very short period of time, 6 months for most people, 100% of people report fewer symptoms, 90% of them sleep better, which is also a contributing indicator because most attacks happen at night. And then two out of three people who were having attacks every month before joining our program have no attacks. These findings have been independently validated by an entity called the Validation Institute, and they have been looking at digital health companies for 10 years, never been challenged. We are the first wearable and the first respiratory solution that they have validated, and they also back us with a $100,000 guarantee. That means if we engage with a customer, a paying customer, and we don't meet our guarantees to them for performance, they will pay them up to $100,000 on our behalf in every single instance. I don't think you'll find any other technology with as much backing and as much validation as we've had, because of the team I have, my personal conviction, and how personal this is to me. We've made sure that every step of the way we've bulletproofed what we're doing.
So once you have kind of that end outcome measures, right, then it becomes, well, who's going to pay for this? Is it the individual? Or I imagine the insurance companies love something that prevents major episodes that are far more expensive. So who's paying for it?
You're exactly right. The insurance, so we have three types of payers. Insurance companies, definitely, because of course, when we utilize healthcare less, we all pay lower insurance rates, we hope. And then employers, it's a little known fact, but most of the country or most of the population is actually covered by commercial health insurance through their employers. And that is also, say, there are categories in there of fully insured people as well as self-insured people. And self-insured employers have a lot to gain by reducing healthcare costs. A few years ago, you would have seen Starbucks said that healthcare costs actually cost them more than coffee beans. And so employers like those who are self-insured have a direct interest in paying us to help them reduce costs. And the third group that we work with is really physicians and other organizations that have chosen to do value-based care, where they're paid a capitated rate per member, and they have to then work to reduce their costs so they get the difference. And we're finding great success there as well.
In your materials, it says that there's 5.5 million in contracted revenue. What does that look like?
So what we started this deal with one contract for five, and we started this fundraise with one contract for $5.5 million in annual recurring revenue. What that means is we've contracted with an entity who has allowed us the ability to contract people. In this case, it was a broker to contract people and hand put them through our system. We were learning a lot with that early contract, so now we have better ones, and I'll add that we recently signed one that is $5.8 million in contracted annual recurring revenue. What does that mean? It was with an employer healthcare purchasing coalition, so a coalition of employers that together decided they would band together and buy healthcare to achieve economies of scale. So this group has been around for 45 years. They have over 300, almost 400 employer members and 400,000 covered lives. And we are now their exclusive virtual respiratory care provider. So, and that contract is one that we're prepared to scale. And what that means is when we engage fully with that population, even if we only engage half of the people with asthma and COPD, that is worth $5.8 million in annual recurring revenue. So we haven't gone, we haven't done this blowout projection that said 100% of people will sign up with us, definitely. No, we've stuck very carefully to the fact that the CDC says 50% of adults with asthma and COPD are out of control. In this actual area, it's even more, it's about 65%. And so what we've done has been very systematic and thoughtful with our investors when we see that this is a $5.8 million in annual recurring revenue, because we've actually discounted that from the true potential. Because we are very thoughtful around doing what we say we will do and then getting it done. So a bad term that people tend to use is what this is a very effective hunting license. We're not hunting people, but it allows us access to that population. And a lot of people who are not familiar with the industry don't understand how that works. But as an example, Hinge Health recently IPO'd. They're very similar to us, a very focused niche, musculoskeletal disorders. They have a wearable, they have therapists that they offer, virtual care. They started, they got to $390 million in revenue last year and IPO'd at $2.1 billion a couple of weeks ago. Their first contract was with a team of people, an employer that had 10,000 people. And for all intents and purposes, we are now at the point where we have a contract with 400,000 covered lives. So there is a clear pathway that we're following in terms of growth.
So, in terms of kind of go-to-market strategy for a wearable device like this, is it to kind of partner up with those brokers and insurance providers? Do you have to go direct to doctors? What's going to be the best way to scale the business?
Yes. We have tried everything, so we know what doesn't work. Like Einstein, we know a thousand ways not to do this, and it's exactly that. Sell to the people who pay for the cost of care. That very clearly, directionally, is where we have to be. To do that, we do not need to have doctors recommend it. We're happy to talk to doctors. They generally are too busy for us, and it takes a lot to get a doctor to like channel things through. So our channels are payers, anybody who pays for the cost of healthcare, and then we have a great team of people. Our head of marketing scaled this same type of approach for Lark, which is a billion-dollar a unicorn in the diabetes space. And exactly this, once you have that portal or license to hunt, then it's very easy to recruit people, because by and large, most people, especially with these conditions, are looking for immediate solutions, but they don't want to pay out of pocket for it. So that's where we come in. We have found, I'll give you an example. We were awarded a grant by the American Heart Association, must have been in 2022, I think. And we tested that theory, right? So if we have a grant, meaning like the equivalent of insurance paying for it, and we were able to advertise freely, hey, sign up for this free program that helps you with your asthma and COPD. We put out a couple ads on social media. People didn't have to pay. We had 100 spaces. We got 1,000 people signing up in a week, at a cost of acquisition of around $3 or $4. So we've tested at different levels that, hey, if we can get this covered in different areas and are able to advertise to people that this is free to them while we get paid otherwise, this is easy pickings.
So is the goal to sign up with large insurance providers and then basically they almost sell on your behalf or you start to market to that audience?
You market to the audience. They will not necessarily sell on your behalf. They'll do joint communications. But one of our performance metrics will be our ability to recruit people, but insurance organizations as well as employers.
In terms of, one of the challenges, right, is that there's actually a hardware component here. It sounds like you're really scaling up and have a huge opportunity to serve thousands, if not tens of thousands of patients. how do you think about the manufacturing process? What does that look like? Do you have a capacity to scale to, you know, tens of thousands of devices per year?
Yes. This is where, as I tell people, arguably this is where myself and my co-founder, Jared, this is the part of the business where we're most comfortable. I have many years of experience in manufacturing. He has even more before he stepped over to the dark side and did sales for a while. But what we have done is we have designed the device as a medical device, and we have a full, we've been very thoughtful and very rigorous around having full design for manufacturability studies, and also a manufacturing manual, for want of a better word, that you can then lift into each facility that you do it. So we manufacture in North America, in the US, and what we have is the factory that we're currently at can give us easily 10,000 pieces a year, more depending on what we want to do with them. And then you just have that design and manufacturing file that you take and you port over to another facility if you outgrow this one. So we've been very prepared for this aspect of scaling and really thrilled that is showing fruit.
Well, I'll give you the last word here for those who are interested, but they're still kind of on the line. What would you say? What do you want them to know?
So I want them to know that there's never going to be a better time to invest than now. We're fundamentally a different company from even when we started this round. When you think about our contracted annual recurring revenue, which will shortly be $20 million, at the valuation that we are listed at on WeFunder, it's a steal of a deal. It's a very low multiple of our valuation, and we'd love to have people on board. But I will say also that we are actively considering whether this current round should be curtailed because the company is so fundamentally different than it was before. So people who want to get in should really get in now before we make a decision one way or the other on whether all the existing investors just get to double down and then we move on.
If you liked what you heard on the show today, you could check out why Healthcare Originals received a 4.7 out of 5 and an investment from Kingscrowd Capital at kingscrowd.com. You can now invest on WeFunder until September 26, 2025. And please like, subscribe, and share our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts so more listeners like you can find us. Thanks for listening.